Our Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for this morning and this final Sunday service of this year. It's been a great year. You've done great things, and we are glad. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. The angels, when they came, you know, to give the announcement on the day of Christmas, first time that the baby was about to be born, they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and goodwill toward all men." Well, this period, people celebrate the goodwill, but they don't give the glory to God in the highest. So we try to do that last Sunday service. We're going to do that also. You keep the Lord in your mind all of the time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, because the entrance of your word gives light. And we know that today, thy word will bring that light. And I ask, Lord, that you glorify yourself as always and let all your people be fulfilled. Let the Holy Spirit have his way. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody says amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap as you take your seats. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, this morning, going unto perfection. That's the message this morning. Going unto perfection. And we're going to be talking about perfect submission. See? So, now, let me start here at Hebrews chapter 6. It won't be a very long message, but I want you to follow and pay attention. Now, this is for anybody that wants to get closer to the Lord. I've heard some testimonies today. People want to step it up and so forth like that. Well, the Lord's going to show you how to do it in this message. Now, Hebrews chapter 6. And I am going to start at verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. You know, people should have repented, you know, from dead works already. You know, I mean, come on. You know, let's not stay in those dead works. Let's not live in sin anymore. Amen? Let's move on to perfection. Now, you know, faith towards God and doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and all of these things. These are the basic principles of the doctrine of Christ. You know, but the Bible is saying, we are going to, by the will of God, we are going, God will permit, we are now going to move on to perfection. Now, and we are going to be talking about why it is so critical that we move on to perfection and what this perfection is all about. Now, for it is impossible for those who are once enlightened, see, and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. You know, now some people, you know, many people say, well, we, you know, I have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, but their life is no different. They're still doing the same things and so forth like that. You know, well, what do you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit for? And then your life is no different. You know, and then it's just the same thing. You know, people still do all the old things. They still backbite and gossip and do all of these other things. These are the little foxes that are spoiling the vine. You know, but we're going to find out in this message what it is that God expects from all of us. And if you love the Lord with all your heart, he's going to help you in this message to see how you can, you know, step it up into perfection. So, well, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to read a couple of verses, starting at verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, all of those things, those ministry gifts and so forth, there are reasons why he gave all those things. You know, and he's going to list the reasons why he's doing all these things in the church. And in verse 12, he's going to talk about the reasons why he's doing it. For the perfecting of the saints. Now, you'll notice that that's number one on the list. Perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, until we all come to the unity of the faith. Now, that's one thing that's lacking. See, the unity of the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. And unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And the Lord told me, you know, I'll go so many months, but every time I'll come back and I'll preach on this message. That's the way the Lord wants it. I'm always going, you're going to hear me from time to time, I'm always going to preach on how to become more like Christ. See, and that's what this message is all about today. See, because that's exactly what is missing from the church. You know, I've said this before. You know, I mean, everything has been done from the book, from the cover of the book to the end of it. Everything has been done but one thing. See, people have raised the dead. People have opened the eyes of the blind. People have even gotten out from the graves. In Matthew chapter 27, they came out of the graves, you know, after Jesus was resurrected. All kinds of things have happened except this one thing. See, the people of God are yet to become exactly like Christ. And this is what the whole creation is waiting for. You know, so I've heard today people say, well, we're going to take it to the next level. We're going to do all of these things. We're going to go to the front line. We're going to show you how in this message of how God expects that that's going to be. So you pay attention. Praise God. How many of you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Now let's hear what God said. I'm going to show you some examples of how God and the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came, the things that he said concerning perfection and the things that he did. So let's start from Abraham, which the Bible calls the father of faith. Now, if you want to know that the Bible calls Abraham the father of faith, you read Romans chapter 4 and verse 11. He says that Abraham is the father of all them that believe. See, so they called him the father of faith. Now, well, let's see what the Lord said concerning Abraham, who is called the father of faith. Now, in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1, here's what the Lord said to Abraham. Now, before I read this Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1, I want to take you back to Genesis 14. Now, this Abraham in Genesis 14, he went and did some exploits, and when he was coming back, here's what happened to him in Genesis 14 and starting at verse 18. Genesis 14 and verse 18. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem. Now, some of you may not know the mystery of this Melchizedek, but I don't have time to preach on that today, but you can read it later in Hebrews chapter 7. And you'll find that this Melchizedek was God himself. Even though he appeared to Abraham here in a different form, but he was God. Now, but Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him, see, and he said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And he blessed him and so forth like that. Now, Abraham already had encounter, and somebody's saying, well, how do you know he was God? Well, I'm just going to read it. I didn't mean to read it, but I just picked that up right now. So let me just read it. In Hebrews chapter 7, because that's not my message this morning, but in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 1, it says, for this Melchizedek, which was the king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessing. Now, this is the story we just read in Genesis chapter 14. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First, now this is this Melchizedek. First being by interpretation. Now notice the capital K. King of righteousness. Now there's only one king of righteousness. How many of you say praise the Lord? That's right. He's the king of righteousness. And after that, he is the king of Salem, which is king of peace. He is without father. Well, that's got to be only one person. He is without mother. He is without descent. He has neither beginning of days nor end of life. How many of you say that has to be God? Because he has neither beginning of days nor end of life. See? So, Abraham already met God. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 8, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he was glad. And the people said, well, you're not even 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? And he said, before Abraham was, I am. Praise God. Now that was the same figure that met Abraham. See, you say Jesus, that's exactly right. Because both in the Old Testament and in the New, God is one spirit.
Amen.
See, you can call him Jehovah. And you can call him Jesus Christ. But he's still the same one spirit. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, the Bible tells us that the rock that followed Israel in the Old Testament was Jesus Christ. You know, so he was there in the Old Testament. He himself said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. So we know that was Jesus. You know, but what I'm saying today is that Abraham already met God face to face. He already experienced something that most people would never experience in their lifetime. He already seen God. See? And then in Genesis chapter 15, the Lord appeared to him in verse 1, Genesis 15, and he gave him a remarkable promise, which is the reason why you are all sitting here today. The promise that he gave to Abraham. See, the Lord said unto Abraham, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision. That's Abraham. That was before he changed his name to Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You know, very few times in the Bible that the Lord appears and gives salutations like that to people. See, but he gave it to Abraham. And he says, and the Lord said, well, you know, what are you going to do for me? And so forth. I have no child, and somebody that's, you know, born in my house is going to be my heir. The Lord said, no, that's not going to be your heir. See, and the Lord gave him this promise. He says, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him in verse 4, saying, this shall not be thine heir, for he that shall come out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir. You know, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness in verse 6. Now, so Abraham already had all of these experiences with God. See, but even when God gave him the promise of his child, it took 25 years. See, and Abraham changed his name, and you've heard me say this before. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which is the father of many nations. And he was walking around and saying, well, I'm the father of many nations. And the people laughed at him every day because he didn't even have a single child. And they said to Abraham, well, you know, we always knew you were kind of wacko, if I can use that word, you know. But we didn't know that you were this crazy or stupid. I mean, you don't even have a child. And you're naming yourself father of many nations. Look at us here. See? All our children are around about us. You know, are you now all at once going to do more brilliantly than all of us together? Father of nations indeed. And they mocked him every day. You say, how do I know that? Because the Lord showed it to me. You know. And then, you know, they mocked him every day. You see? But Abraham, he stood by the promise. And boy, he is the father of many nations today. How many of you can say praise the Lord? We preach one message one time, the self-sustaining word. Once the word is given, it will sustain itself. The word of God that is given by promise will sustain itself. You don't worry about it. The scripture used to say, in order that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet, then the Lord began to orchestrate some events in order to bring that word to pass. So, but what we're saying this morning is Abraham had all these experiences. And finally, in chapter 17 of Genesis, the Lord appeared to him after all these experiences. And when Abraham was 90 years old, see, the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, you know, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me. As if he hasn't been walking before him all this time. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now God demanded it of Abraham, and he certainly demands it of every one of us. See, now after all those experiences, seeing Melchizedek and doing all of these things and having great promises from God, God still says you need to be perfect. See, and that's the thing that we are missing today. You know, one time, one young man, he came to Jesus, he said, well, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, do this and do that and so forth. And the man said, well, you know, I've done all of these things from my youth. And Jesus said, wow, one thing thou lackest. Go and do such and such. Now, this morning, the one thing that we lack is what the Lord is going to tell us in this message. So you pay attention. Now, be thou perfect. Walk before me, he told him. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, Jesus tells the same thing to the disciples. Now we've moved away from Abraham. We're now going to the disciples. When Jesus came upon the scene, he demands the same perfection from the disciples. Matthew chapter 5, he says in verse 48, be ye therefore also perfect. How many of you can say amen to that?
Amen.
As your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, you say, well, I can't ever be perfect. You know, some people say, well, you know, I don't think I can do that. Well, the Bible says we must go on to perfection. You can't stay where you are. You've got to keep going closer to the Lord. And we're going to see the one thing that's lacking. The Lord's going to help us to understand it in this message. So the Lord, he told Abraham. He also told the apostles, you know, and so forth. And he told all saints. We read it already in Ephesians chapter 4. You know, said that we should go on to perfection and have the, you know, measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So he told us all of these things. But what does it really mean to be perfect? Well, I can tell you from Genesis to Revelation, as far as I can tell, as far as I can see, till this day, there's been only one. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to see how he did it. We're going to see, because the Bible says concerning Jesus. In fact, nobody knew anything much about him for 30 years, except for one small incident when he was 12. You know, and then finally when he came to John the Baptist to be baptized, when he was about to start his ministry, the Bible says the heavens opened up. See, amen? And there was a voice that came out of heaven. I said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. You know, Jesus hadn't done any miracle. He hadn't healed the sick. He hadn't raised the dead. He hadn't even done any of these great things, which people think perfection is by doing great things. See, some people think it is when you raise the dead, and when you heal the sick, or tell the wheelchair to get up. We sing that in this church, and all that. See. And we've seen great miracles all the time. But perfection is being like Christ. And we're going to see, because Jesus hadn't done any miracles. He hadn't done anything at all. Yet God said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. So how did Jesus do it? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. And let's see how Jesus did it. What was it that God found in him that made the Lord to say that this is my beloved son, in whom I well pleased? Seeing that he hadn't even done any single miracle. He hadn't done anything. He was just about to start his ministry, came to the water to be baptized, and boom, the heavens opened up. And God witnessed that he was pleased in him. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. And he took upon him the form of a servant. And he was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, Jesus didn't have to do it. The Lord could have just wiped out everybody and created a new set of people that will obey him. He can do that too if he wants. But he chose to redeem us. And the Lord, he took upon him the form and the nature of man, because there was a great contest. And the devil said, you can't do it. And the Lord said, they'll do it too. See, the devil said, they can't do it. They will never be like Christ. And the Lord said, I'm going to show you. So he sent Jesus in the form of a man. And did he ever show the devil? See, he showed the devil and he said, the prince of this world cometh and he has nothing in me. How many of you say praise the Lord? He was perfect in all his ways. Even though he was tempted in every point, but yet he was without sin. And because he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, wherefore God, even thy God, has also highly exalted him, Jesus. And he has given him a name which is above every name. How many of you can say Jesus?
Jesus?
That's right. The name of Jesus. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Now, you are either going to do it willingly or you are going to do it by the rod of iron. One way or the other, every knee is going to bow to the name of Jesus. one way or another. And all things in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue, I don't care, even the devil himself, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. To the glory of God the Father. Now, how did he do it? By perfect submission. You say perfect submission? Yes. Turn with me to John chapter 5. The Gospel of John chapter 5. And I'm going to read two verses of scripture there. John chapter 5. I'm going to start at verse 19. This is John chapter 5 and verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatsoever things he doeth, that's the Father, these things also the Son does likewise. Now, so that's how Jesus, that's how he did it. He was perfectly submitted to the will of the Father. Now, you say, he was perfectly submitted to the will of my Father? Yes. Verse 30 of the same chapter. John chapter 5, verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. See, that's what Jesus said. As I hear from the Father, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. How many of you say praise the Lord to that? Sure. The Lord Jesus, that's what he said. He said, I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me. Now, Jesus, everything that he did, all the time that he was here, in fact, when he was going to the cross, you know, he had, you know, tremendous pressure on him. You know, and in the flesh, naturally, you know, he wanted to back out of it because, you know, he saw the dark days ahead. See, he saw when he would be separated from the Father because he was going to be made sin. And he saw that, you know, he had to go down into darkness and so forth like that in order to redeem, you know. And the flesh almost wanted to back out of it. And the Lord, you know, he prayed, the Bible said he prayed, he agonized and everything. And there was even blood coming out of his forehead every time, you know. And then he was there, he was agonizing before the Father and so forth. But finally he said, you know, here's what he said. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 38. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed and said, Oh my Father, if it be possible, if that at all be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, I love that word. Everybody say nevertheless. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now Jesus, he had a perfect submission. He was completely 100% obedient to his spirit. Wherefore God also gave him the spirit, not by measure. Now you want to do great exploits? You want to do all of these things for the Lord and so forth like that? Well, what you should be looking for is that commendation that came from the voice in the excellent glory. When he opened up and said, This is my beloved son. See? And in order for you to get to the point where God can say of you, This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, you're going to have to be just like the Christ. The Christ himself. He purred and emptied himself of everything. He said, Let not my will be done, but thine be done. See, now, why is it that people today, they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and so forth? See, as we said in the beginning of the message. They receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but then you look at them and so forth, their life is nothing. Even like Christ. See, John already said, I indeed baptize you with water. But he that is coming after me is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So it seems like this Holy Ghost baptism, if you receive it, it seems like it is something that's supposed to make you be like Christ. But, sad to say, most of the time it doesn't. Why? Because God never relinquishes or takes away your free will. See, now you listen to me this morning, especially you young people. God never takes away your free will. He never took the free will away from the Lord Jesus, and he won't take it away from you. See, you must, of your own free will, give up your will to the Lord. See, you must submit to the Holy Spirit. Now, most people, when they receive the Holy Spirit baptism for the first time, they are broken. See? They are broken. And except they stay in that brokenness, they can get back into the flesh. See? And then they can begin to do things on their own and not follow the leading of the Spirit like they did the first day. In order for you to become like Christ, this flesh must be crucified daily. How many of you say praise the Lord? Paul said, I die daily. See? Crucified with Christ. But nevertheless, I live. But the life that I live now in the flesh, I don't live it of myself, but I live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Crucified. In fact, Jesus himself, he said, you know, except you take up your cross and you die to the flesh and follow me, see, you can't really get into the kingdom of God. See, if you want to be my disciple, he said, you must pick up your cross. Now, Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevent or prevail against the church. Well, let me tell you something about the gates of hell. See, there are the gates of heaven, and then there are the gates of hell. But there is also what is called the paths of righteousness. Now, the path of righteousness is what leads to the gates of heaven. But I can guarantee you one thing. The gates of hell are going to try to close up the paths of righteousness for you so you don't get there. Well, the Bible does say the scepter of his throne is the scepter of righteousness. You're never going to even be around the throne if there is no righteousness. See? But you will not be able to stay righteous and to do the will of the Father if you are unwilling to submit 100% to him. Now, this message this morning is to show us that we must submit to the Father, just like Jesus did. Now, we're closing out the year. A lot of people will be making New Year resolutions and so forth. But you might say, well, I want to do great exploits. Well, let me tell you something. See, your best resolution this year, next, or whenever, I want to be like the Christ. How many of you say praise the Lord? In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19, Paul, after many years of talking and dealing with this, Galatians and so forth, who were Christians, many of them spirit-filled and so forth, finally Paul said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So Christ wasn't formed in them. Are you kidding me? They were Christians. They were believers. They even had the Holy Ghost. See? But they were not perfectly submitted. See, many of them were living in the flesh. They were living out their own personal will. See? Now, we preached a message one time, you know, in July, I believe it was, you know, that, you know, that will be done. See, you must submit your will to the will of the Father. Now, perfect submission comes with perfect obedience. They go hand in hand. Now, even the Holy Spirit, in the book of Acts chapter 5 and verse 32, we are told that the Holy Spirit is given to those that obey him. Well, You think because you obeyed him one time, you have the Holy Spirit? If you do not continue to obey him, the Holy Spirit will continue, you know, his work? No, he will be grieved. See, you must continue to obey and submit to the Holy Spirit. You cannot say, well, one time I received the Holy Spirit and so forth. You know, now that's not the way it's going to be. See, the Bible says that Jesus, every day, he said to do the will of my Father. In fact, if you notice the things that Jesus did, you know, some of them were like way, you know, out there. But he was doing the will of the Father. One time he wanted to pray. Well, one time he wanted to minister to the sick. Somebody, a blind man, and he took that blind man way out of the city, you know, and then ministered to him. You say, why? Could have ministered to him right there, but that's the way the Lord was leading him there. That's the way the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, see, you must be ready 100% to submit to the will of the Father. Now, that's greatness. If you want to be great, one time the prophecy said, he said, he shall be greater. And he shall, you know, lead the way of the Lord and so forth, concerning, you know, John the Baptist and so on like that. You know, well, you know, real greatness now. See, some people say, I want to be like Elijah. Call down fire from heaven and so forth like that. Well, the Bible says you don't know what kind of spirit you are. See, you know John. See, how many of you know that James and John, they were called sons of thunder? Because they like to do all of these things and so forth, you know. One time they saw, you know, they saw some people that were not part of their congregation. See? Not just James and John, but the rest of the apostles, they did. And said, well, these people are not part of our congregation. Let's rebuke them. And the Lord just kind of laughed. He said, leave them alone. See? Because those that are working for me, they cannot speak lightly of me. See, so, you know, and one time they saw somebody else doing some things and so forth that was contrary, and they said, well, let us call down fire from heaven and destroy them like Elijah did. They could have too. But the Lord said, that was then, but this is now. How many of you say praise the Lord? Well, some people still think, well, we're going to call down fire from heaven and so forth. No, that's in the Old Testament, to burn down anybody. The way it is done now, you see, you read it in Acts chapter 7. He knelt down there, Stephen, he did. And they were stoning him and so forth like that. And the Bible says, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, forgive them. Praise God. For they know not what they do. And the Bible says, immediately the heavens were opened unto Stephen. See, and he saw the Christ. He saw the glory of God. You know, even as he humbled himself there, and as he had the perfect love in his heart, just like Jesus did. Remember, that's exactly the same thing that Jesus did on the cross. See, when they nailed him to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See? Well, that's the mark of Christ right there. Paul said one time, he said, I bear in my body. See, the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me tell you what the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ is. That's when somebody can be doing the things to you that they did to Jesus, and he can say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, you might say, well, I'm going to call down fire. You might be able to do it too, but you don't know what kind of spirit you have. We need to look at Jesus, because Jesus was the blueprint. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. Jesus was the blueprint of what we should be like. Oh, yes. He was the blueprint, and everything that he did, the same way is the way that we are supposed to do it. Oh, and I tell you what, here is what Stephen said in Acts chapter 7, and I'm going to read at verse 55. For he being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right. Now, the Bible says Jesus was sitting on the right hand. But the Lord Jesus, he stood up to give Stephen a standing ovation. That's right. See, Jesus standing up right there, ready to receive Stephen. And in the ultimate hour, in his darkest hour, where they were stoning him and so forth like that. You see? And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, verse 59, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down, Acts chapter 7 and verse 60. And he cried with a loud voice and said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Oh boy. You say, is that the spirit of Christ? Yes, sir. The Bible says, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But some people think it's talking in tongues and doing all of these other things. Well, you know, we do not despise speaking in tongues. We do not despise all these other things because it's part of the complete gospel. In fact, Jesus said, this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils and they shall speak with new tongues. Now, if you're a believer, you should speak with new tongues. Because Jesus already said that. See? But is that the goal? Is that what we are looking for? Is that what God is looking for? No. God is looking. He said in the book of Genesis, he revealed his plan the very first time. He said, I'm going to make man in my own image. That's what he was looking for, to reproduce himself in man. But they couldn't do it. Because they did not stay with the obedience. They did not stay with the word of God. Until this day, God is still looking, see, for those that will have the image of Christ. Because that's what he wanted to do from the beginning. Now, this image of Christ comes in perfect submission. How many of you say praise the Lord? He comes in perfect obedience to the Lord. Just like Jesus did it, that's the same way that we must do it. Now, there are so many things in the Bible that Jesus talked about, you know. But finally, one time he said, well, I am going to liken people that hear my word and those that do it and those that hear my word and don't do it. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to liken the one that hears my word and does it to a house that's built upon the rock. And when the rains come down and so forth beat upon it, it will stand because it was built on the solid foundation. But those that hear my words and don't do it, I'm going to liken them unto the house that's built upon the sand. Now, are you building your house on the rock? Or are you building your house on the sand? Because you might be building up your house, sir, but if it's on the sand, it's going to crumble. See? Now, you say, did Jesus say all of that? Yes, and even more. Matthew chapter 7, turn with me, and I'm going to read first at verse 21. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Now, from verses 21 down through to verse 27, you will find what I just said about those that liken, you know, heard his word and so forth, you know, to a wise man that's built upon the rock. But let me read verses 21. And 22 of Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. You know, but what was the will of his Father? Jesus himself said, I do not seek to do my will, but the will of my Father. But many will come to me and say to me in that day, Lord, we have prophesied. Have we not prophesied in your name? Well, and in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name have we not done many miracles? Spoke with tongues, jumped up and down the church and done all of these things and so forth? You know? And the Lord said, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Wow. Now that's a sobering thought. He didn't even say, I don't. He said, I never knew you. Now, never knew you? That's like denying. You see, he just totally said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Now, you say workers of iniquity? Yes, because righteousness is the beginning of the very foundation of the throne of God. You say, that throne, the scepter of that throne, is a scepter of righteousness. Now, if you want to be completely righteous, and if you want to be completely like Christ, of course, it starts with righteousness. Now, there may be some of you today, you know, this message may be strange to you because you don't even know the Lord. Well, see, now this message is for everybody. See, because there is nobody that was born righteous. We were all born in sin. How many of you know that's true? See, but at some point in time, we all had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now today, may be your day. Now if you are here, and you have never experienced the Lord Jesus Christ in the light of the gospel, you know, then you don't want to leave this service today without giving your life to the Lord. And I'm not talking about come up here and shake my hand and so forth. Like, that's never going to get you saved. You must repent and you must be born again. Repent means you must give up your old ways. Now, those of you who are visiting us from the shelter and so forth like that, you must give up. If you have any addiction in your life, you must give it up. See, you say, well, I can't give it up. Then he will help you. But you must be willing to give it up. You cannot say, well, you know, I'm just going to go to church and so forth and everything's going to be alright. No, everything is not going to be just alright just by going to church. See, you must live the life. How many of you say amen?
Amen?
And you must do the same things that Christ did. Well, you say, I cannot be like Christ. That's hard. Well, that's the reason why he gave us the Holy Ghost. See? And some people say, well, you know, I'm going to try to be holy and so forth. Some people preach, you know, that you must be all sanctified and all holy and become like an angel not to receive the Holy Spirit. Well, if you can do all of that, what do you need the Holy Spirit for? See, if you can become holy all by yourself, then you don't need the Holy Spirit. But the reason why he's called the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that's going to bring you into that holiness. But you must submit unto him. You cannot do it on your own. Now, if you want the Lord to give you a breakthrough in your life this morning, whether it is by salvation or whether it is a closer walk, then you've got to do what this message says this morning, is perfect submission unto the Lord. Well, you say, are you perfect yourself? Of course not. But the Bible says we must go on to perfection. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You say, well, I have been saved since 19 such and such. Well, it is not he that starts the race, but he that finishes, that gets the prize. And not only finish, you must finish according to the rules. See, I used to do track and field when I was a young man. You know, and so forth like that. You know, and you can come first, but you might be disqualified if you break the lanes, if you are running in a race in which you have to stay in your lanes. And so forth like that. You know, so Paul himself said, because after I've done all these things, I keep my own body under, so that I myself, after I preach to others, might not be cast away. We say, well, I preach the gospel, I feed the poor, I sing in the choir, I do all of these things, I jump up and down, I speak in tongues, and do all of that. Well, that is good, but after 25 years of Abraham seeing the glory of God and meeting God face to face, God still demanded perfection of him. He still met him and he still said, be thou perfect and walk before me. How many of you say amen?
Amen?
So one time experience is not going to do it. It is a continuous process. You must continue to strive to go unto perfection. And the best way that we know how from this sermon this morning is to do it the way Christ did. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, just like Christ did, and he will lift you up. Submit yourself unto God. Submit yourself unto the Holy Spirit. Especially those of you now, I'm challenging everybody here that says I'm a believer. I've received the Holy Spirit as well. Well, see, to whom much is given, much is required. And the servant that knew his master's will and still didn't do it, he's going to receive many more stripes. So those of you who are sitting here say, oh, I got the Holy Spirit and so forth. Like, Jesus said, well, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But because you say you see, therefore your sin remains. Well, you know, you say, well, that's you speaking strong and so forth like that. No, we are persuaded better things of you even though we don't speak. That's why the Bible says. But we must speak it this way to make sure that everybody is on their toes. Praise God. There is no gospel of convenience that's going to come out from this pulpit. So help me God. Because I don't want anybody's blood on my hands. See, we're not going to rob the gospel and make it nice so that people can come to church. Well, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. That's what the Bible says. This gospel, not somebody else's way of doing it. Now, this is the gospel that we are preaching to you this morning. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, turn with me as we begin to close this, Revelation 22. And I'm going to read in verse 11. Revelation 22 and verse 11. And the Lord said, the time is coming, and now is, that he that is unjust, see, every one of you that's hearing this message this morning, you don't have any excuse anymore because you heard it. He that is unjust, let him be unjust. If you want to be unjust, you just stay that way. Now, if you want to be filthy, fine. See, but he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. But if you want to break out of being unjust, if you want to break out of being unrighteous, if you want to break out of being filthy, and you want to receive the righteousness of God, you want to receive the image of Christ, now this is your opportunity this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I tell you, when we stand before the Father, the one thing that you want to hear is, this is my beloved Son, as he announces you to the angels, in whom I well pleased. You don't want to hear, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. You don't want to be in that group that Jesus will say, I never knew you. But you want him to say, this is my beloved Son, this is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. The only way that he is going to be well pleased in us, he gave the example in Christ, is for us to be totally submissive to him, just like Christ was. I want us to stand to our feet this morning. Stand to your feet this morning and pick up your hymn books. And we are going to sing hymn 25. And while we are singing this hymn, I want everybody that wants to submit 100% to the Lord, while we are singing this hymn, I want you to come forward, because we are going to pray together this morning. And if you say, well, I don't even know this Jesus that we are talking about, well, you came to the right place this morning. Because the Bible says, my house shall be called the house of prayer. And this is the house of salvation. See? So you come in here this morning, you don't leave without the Lord in your heart. You're going to come out here this morning, you're going to lay your burdens down. See? You're going to confess your sins and let the Lord die. Close out this new year. I mean, close out this old year. Get rid of the old man. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And put on Christ. The Bible says, put off, therefore, the old man and all these its things and so forth, and put on the new man, which is Christ. So, let's get ready to put on the new man. Now, you say, well, I have received the Holy Spirit and so forth, but there are things in my life that are still I'm holding on to and so forth. See, the reason that we are not, and God, you know, he's holding me back. There's one message I've been trying to preach, and you know, I just haven't, you know, he couldn't give me the green light. You know, one of the reasons that we can't get into the presence of God, so many reasons, but the flesh is holding us back. See, the flesh and the sin that so easily besets us, and all the things in the world, the Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You know, we preached a message one time before and challenged everybody, say, awake, thou that sleepest, return to your first love. See, now, today, this is a message of going on to perfection, and God is going to show us in this message, he has shown us already, how to do it, is that we must be submitted to the Holy Spirit fully like Christ in order for us to move on to perfection. As he said to that young man, he said, you've done all these things, you've kept all the law and so forth like that, he said, but one thing you lack. And the Lord told me to tell us this morning that the one thing that we lack, you know, is that perfect submission. In your hymn book, it's hymn number 25, I Surrender All. And when we are singing this hymn, you cannot surrender anything to me. You're surrendering to the Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, and as we sing this hymn, I want you If you want that breakthrough, you want that perfect submission in your life, you want to go on to perfection, you want that obedience to be fulfilled in your life, that's the only way you can get rid of all that disobedience around you. Your own obedience must be fulfilled. That's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. But now, you want that image of Christ. You want to be just like Christ. Not like the apostles. Not like John, not like Paul, not like anybody else. But like Christ. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
Now as we sing this hymn, if you want that brokenness, if you want God to help you, this is your opportunity this morning. Now, those of you who want salvation this morning, you are ready to repent of your ways. And you want to turn a new leaf. And you want Jesus, you want the power of God to snap whatever is holding you back. This is your opportunity. When we sing this hymn, don't let the devil hold you back. You come out here. Praise God. And you're going to see the power of God in your life. And anybody else that wants the brokenness, anybody else that wants, you know, you say, well, the new year is coming and so forth, make a resolution. This is the resolution that you ought to be making. I want to be more like Christ. I want the image of Christ to be fulfilled in me. I want to hear the words, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. I want to please the Lord, not to please men, but to please the Lord. Praise God. Say, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. Let's sing it together. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. Leave. I surrender all. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. Oh, now I want you to come out here if you want to surrender all and join me right here. All to Jesus I surrender humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaking, take me Jesus, take me now. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. Oh, I surrender. Oh, to Him, my blessed Savior, I surrender. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, holy God. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit truly. Know that Thou art mine. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. To Jesus, let us save you. I surrender. All to Jesus I surrender. To Jesus I surrender.
I give myself to.
Are you going to give yourself to him today?
Thy God and power, let thy blessing fall on me.
Are you going to surrender?
I surrender. Now I feel the sacred.
Oh, can you feel that Holy Ghost fire?
Salvation.
Glory!
Glory! Glory to his name.
Do you surrender this morning?
I surrender. To him, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Sing it again.
I surrender. To thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
All over this audience, I want you to begin to cry unto the Lord. Come on, begin to cry unto the Lord. Lay it down. This is the last Sunday service of this year. Don't take any of this baggage into the next year. Put it down before the Lord. Put it down before the Lord. Put it down before the Lord. Surrender all unto him. This is the way unto perfection. This is the way unto perfection. Surrender it all. Surrender it all. Surrender it all before the Lord. I want those that want salvation for the first time in your life. The first time. If you are in this auditorium this morning, for the first time, you want to know for a fact that you are born again. Wherever you are, I want to see your hand up. If you want to experience that for the first time, thank you. I can see your hand up in the back. Anybody else? Don't be ashamed. If you are ashamed of the Lord, he will be ashamed of you. Come on, sir. Come on forward. Don't be ashamed. Come on forward. Praise God. Hallelujah. This may be new to you and so forth like that, but the Lord, he loves all of us. He laid down his life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come over here, sir. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come over here, sir. What's your name, sir?
Pablo.
Do you understand all of these things we've said?
Yeah.
You want to give your life to the Lord this morning?
Yes.
Praise God. Well, why don't you just stay here and confess your sins before the Lord, and he will have mercy upon you. You know, just kneel down this altar here and pray before the Lord. Praise God. Now, I know there are some of you here. Many of you are believers in this church already. But you want the Lord to do a new thing in your life. And this is your opportunity right here. Praise God. Now, don't worry about your healing right now. You know, don't worry about anything else. Just submit to the Lord. I guarantee you, when you leave this place today, all those unclean spirits are gone from your body. Praise God. But let's just be in his presence and let's just submit before the Lord. All over this auditorium, let us commit our lives unto God afresh. Let us submit afresh unto the Lord this morning. Praise God. I want those of you who are here this morning that say, I want brokenness in my life. I want the power of God again in my life. like it was the first time when I first received and when he first broke me down. I want that brokenness again. I want that perfect submission.
Everybody
that wants to pray that prayer this morning, I want to see your hand up. You want that prayer of brokenness? You want to enter into a closer relationship? You want that perfect submission? You want God to break down everything that's holding you back? Oh, praise God. Lift your hands up this morning if you want that prayer. I'm going to pray for every hand that is up. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, my hand is up. Along with all the others that are up, I want that fullness of Christ in my life. I want that perfect submission. And all these people that raise their hands, Lord, they want it too. But Father, in the name of Jesus, today, we come unto the cross. We ask of you, Lord. Oh, take away from us, O Lord, the thing that easily besets us and the thing that is keeping us from entering into the fullness of your glory. Take it away from us this morning. We confess it all, Lord, as we close out this year. We confess it all before you. We want that brokenness. We want that perfect submission. And we want the glory of the Lord in our lives. And we want to submit just like Christ did to the Spirit. Teach one, every one of us, Lord, to be truly submissive to the Father. Blessed be thy name, Lord. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.